Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's edition of the CJ Rio podcast. It is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. A nice day out in New York today. Not too hot, not too cold, a little cloudy, but hey, it'll work. A lot better than if it was 100 and very humid. So we'll take it. All right, enough about the weather. I'm not Al Roker. We're here to talk about sports, and we got a really nice day in the sports world to talk about. A lot went down yesterday. The Yankees opened up their series against the Kansas City Royals, looking to continue to add to their misery. Jason Vargas was on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. This was a guy who had an ERA of 1.01 before his last start against the Yankees. It got bumped up more than doubled, a little over 2. Now he was looking to get back in it against the Yankees. We're going to have some NHL playoffs to talk about, where the Nashville Predators had a chance to go to their first Stanley Cup final in their team's history. And then we'll talk a little NBA, where the Golden State Warriors able to close out the San Antonio Spurs and return to the NBA final for the third year in a row. All that starts right now. And the Yankees, they were taking on the Royals, first of 4 in the Bronx. It was Michael Pineda against Jason Vargas, a rematch of their start a few weeks ago where the Yankees beat Jason Vargas. Michael Pineda had a good start, and he had another good start in this one. The Royals, however, got on the board first in this one, top of the third. They got a home run from Bonifacio and then were able to get an RBI double into left later in the inning. So they took a 2-0 lead. Yankees were able to get a run back in the third, but then they tie the game in the fourth. Didi Gregorius with a home run. Yankees end up taking a 3-2 lead after 4. They would add a run in the seventh on the home run by Chris Carter. So Michael Pineda, he had a shaky third inning, but other than that, he was solid again for the Yankees. 6 1/3, he allows 7 base runners, 6 hits and a walk, very good. 2 runs, both earned, struck out 6, and only allowed 1 home run. His ERA down to 3.35, and finally, he's healthy, and Michael Pineda is looking like the pitcher that the Yankees thought they were getting when they traded Jesus Montero to Seattle all those years ago. Michael Pineda now 5-2. He is pitching great baseball, and they were even saying it in the broadcast booth, just, you're going to give up home runs. You're going to give up home runs. You're going to give up runs. It's going to happen. You're not going to be perfect. If you limit them to solo home runs and you just limit the damage and you learn to move on, you're going to do great. And Michael Pineda has done great this season. Along with Luis Severino, he has been the best Yankee pitcher this season. He's really been picking up for the slack of Masahiro Tanaka, who just can't get it going at all. Other Yankee pitchers, of course, the bullpen was dominant again. Adam Warren, 2/3 of an inning. Tyler Clippard, an inning. And Dellin Betances, his third save. For Warren, his ERA to 2.25, and then it just keeps getting better. Tyler Clippard, 1.37, and Dellin Betances, 0.61. Jason Vargas takes the L. He allows 3 runs in 6, his ERA to 2.30 on the season. So for the New York Yankees, another good win. They were able to take the first game of the series against Kansas City, their second win in a row. Equals out the 2 losses at Tropicana Field. And now you have a chance to, at the worst, if you win today, have a 2-2 split series. And it will be a rematch of the third game of the series. Last time these two teams play, it will be the rookie Jordan Montgomery taking on Danny Duffy. And the Yankees were going for the sweep last time, but Danny Duffy was able to beat the Yankees. And for Jordan Montgomery, you know, he had a great spring training, a really big surprise. But his stats have just fallen off as time has gone on during this regular season. His ERA at 4.81. And you wonder how much time is it before the Yankees potentially look elsewhere. Montgomery, he's only 24 years old, but he needs to have a good start. I mean, we'll take a look at his game logs right here. His first start as a Yankee, he only allowed 2 runs. He had a ERA of 4.15 in the month of April, but in May it just hasn't been great. Yeah, he only allowed 2 runs against the Cubs, but in his last starts against Houston and Kansas City, he has allowed 9 runs in his last 11 innings, and this was coming after he had only allowed 2 runs in 4 2/3 against Tampa, quality start against Chicago, Pittsburgh, 3 runs in 5 against Baltimore, not terrible, quality start then against the Cubs, but his last 2 starts have not been good, and Yankees really need Jordan Montgomery to get this win today. Keep helping them build up after those 2 losses in KC. And they're still thinking about losing 3 out of 4 to Houston. Those losses haven't gone anywhere. So the Yankees need to win this one tonight, I think. Get the second win. Get Jordan Montgomery his confidence back, because you don't want to see his ERA go over 5 tonight. That would not be a good look for the Yankee rookie. All right, so the Yankees, that is at 7 o'clock tonight. They take on the Royals. The Yankees at 26-16. The Royals at 18-26. All right, moving over to Queens, and the Mets will start a 3-game series tonight against the San Diego Padres. The Mets, 18-24. This is a series that they can definitely pick up some wins, and they can definitely build some momentum. They take on the San Diego Padres at 16-30, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball this season. Matt Harvey is shot to really pick up the pace with him this season. He's 2-3 with the 5.56 ERA, very unflattering for the free agent to be. Juhuly Chacin for the Padres, 4-3 with a 4.61 ERA. For Matt Harvey, it's been a nightmare for him ever since that one start he was thrown into early when Noah Syndergaard had the tired arm. I still think it was stupid for the Mets to start him early, but ever since then, he's just been on a downward decline. It just has not been good for him at all. Well, this is a Padres team you can definitely beat. This is a Padres team that has, like, one guy you got to worry about in the lineup, that being Will Myers, batting in the third spot. But other than that, this is a team that you can definitely beat, and the Mets need to win this one. They need to start off this series with the Padres. Well, second game of the series tomorrow night, Jared Cozart against Robert Zelman. Cozart, a good start to the year, 0-1 with a 2.70 ERA. I really don't care about record. That's more of a team stat, not a pitcher stat, in my opinion. The 2.70 ERA. And Robert Zelman, the man who I think they should just throw a reliever out in the first inning and bring in Zelman in the second, because his first inning is just a nightmare for the Mets as well. A lot of nightmares on the New York Mets. Matt Harvey's year, Robert Zelman in the first, all the injuries, management of the injuries. This has not been a fun start for the team that went to the World Series 2 years ago. And then in the final game of the 3-game set on Thursday night, the Padres have not announced their starter, and Jacob DeGrom goes for the Mets. So for the Mets, if they can win one of these first 2 games, and I think Matt Harvey will turn it around, I think he will win tonight for the Mets, then if Robert Zelman wins, Jacob DeGrom can easily pick up a sweep against the San Diego Padres. I think this is a series that the Mets should, at the worst, take 2 out of 3, and if they don't, oh boy, it's not going to look good for the Mets. It's not. I mean, this is a series where you can get back to 3 games under 500. You can win all 3. This is a Padres team that is 14 games under 500. They've traveled all the way to the East Coast. You don't know what to expect with them. They don't have the bats to beat you. Beat the Padres. It's, of course, easier said than done. But if this is a Mets team that still wants to prove that they are worthy of being a playoff team, even without Noah Syndergaard, even with the injuries, let's see what happens. All right, we'll take a look at the standings here in Major League Baseball. With their win yesterday, the Orioles lost. The Yankees moved to 1.5 over the Orioles again, 26-16, better than 25-18. 4.5 better than the Sox. 5.5 better than Tampa Bay. 8.5 better than Toronto. The Twins, for now, take control in the AL Central after their win over the Orioles last night. They're 1 game better than the Indians. 3 better than the Tigers, 4 better than the White Sox, and 6.5 better than the Royals. Out west, of course, it is still the Houston Astros at 30-15, 15 games over 500, the opposite of the Padres, who we were just talking about, essentially. 6 better than the Rangers, 7 over the Angels, 9.5 better than Oakland, double digits, 10 over Seattle. Moving over to the National League, the Nationals, 26-17. They have a 6.5 game lead over the under 500 Atlanta Braves. 7.5 over the Mets, 10.5 over the Phils, and 11 still over the Marlins. In the Central, it's still the Milwaukee Brewers at 25-19, a game and a half over the Cardinals, 2.5 over the Cubs, who are now just one game better than 500 at 22-21, 4 games better than the Reds, 5.5 over the last place Pirates. And finally, in the NL West, the Colorado Rockies, 2-game lead over the Arizona D-backs, 2.5 over the Dodgers, and then it just drops off after there. The Giants, 9 games back at 20-26. Bruce Bochy's team, they don't know what's going on over there. And then the Padres, 16-30. I believe that is the worst record in Major League Baseball. Let me just do a quick check. Yeah, that is the worst record. The only team that rivals them is Pittsburgh. Or not Pittsburgh, rather Miami at 15-28. Philly at 15-27 is there too, but the loss column just gives the Padres that edge for being the worst. All righty, so that will cover baseball. Let's talk a little hockey. Last night it was Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. The Nashville Predators, they were home in Smashville. They were primed to go to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in their club's history. The Anaheim Ducks on the other end trying to force a Game 7 to get back to their first final since they won it 10 years ago. And this was not a game that the Ducks failed to dominate in. The Predators were just outplayed in this one. It looked like they were a little shocked by the size of the spotlight. A lot of the players have never even been in a position like this. The only player of Nashville that's ever been in a Stanley Cup final is Mike Fisher, and he was hurt for this one. First period, the Ducks outshot the Predators 12-4, but the Predators came out with a 2-0 lead. The Ducks got one back in the second. The Ducks ended up tying the game at 3 after the Preds made it 3-1 in the third. It was a challenge that did not go the way of Peter Laviolette. And then the Predators get a goal from Colton Sissons, his 5th of the postseason, his hat trick goal, 3rd of the game, 2 goals in the playoffs entering this game. He had 3 tonight. He just became a hero in Nashville lore. And then 2 empty netters by Forsberg and Austin Watson. Hey, Capitals, how's that Forsberg trade looking now? It gets worse every day, and Marty Erat was not worth it. Ducks end up outshooting the Predators in this one by the score of 41-18. They win 62% of the faceoffs. They had more power plays, more hits. The Preds just blocked more shots, and the Preds had more giveaways. You know, for Nashville, they have only lost one game at home in these Stanley Cup playoffs. They finish up going 2-1 over the Ducks. And that gives them a record of 7-1 at home in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So for the Predators, they will take on the winner of the Penguins and the Senators. But for Nashville, they looked great in the first. They looked invincible against the Blackhawks. They looked dominant against the Blues. But in this series against the Anaheim Ducks, they started to come down to earth. And I think that their magic is finally worn dry. Now, this is a Nashville team that is going to be without Ryan Johansson, Mike Fisher, and Kevin Fiala in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Mike Fisher, most likely. That's 3 big names. And the Preds were lucky they won last night. Pekka Rinne, who, if the playoffs ended right now, would be the Conn Smythe winner. He is, well, I think because the Western Conference playoffs are over, it's not an award, but he was the Conn Smythe of the Western Conference playoffs. What a performance by Pekka Rinne, the 34-year-old who's coming off injuries. Everybody thought he was in the tail end of his career. In the regular season, a 242 goals against, 918 save percentage. Everybody thinking, yeah, whatever, what happens in the playoffs, we'll probably lose to the Blackhawks. Well, Pekka Rinne in the playoffs, 12-4, a 170 goals against average and a 941 save percentage. You can say whatever you want about goalies, but in the NHL playoffs, when you run into a hot one, things are going to get bad for you. And for this Nashville team, they have guys that can score goals. And if Pekka Rinne is keeping you in games long enough, well, you're going to be in big trouble. And for Nashville, this is a team that has guys that that can score. They've got a blue line pegged with guys that can score, being Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, PK Subban. They can score. Filip Forsberg. These are all guys that know how to put the puck in the back of the net. If you give them enough chances, they will score. Now, granted, I don't think they're going to be able to go to the Stanley Cup final and get outshot 41 to 18 on a nightly basis and survive. I think if they play the Ottawa Senators, I think they will win the Stanley Cup final. I still don't think much of the Senators. I think if they play the Pittsburgh Penguins, I think they're going to get a real reality check. Because also, you got to look at the Predators now. Game one of the Stanley Cup final is on the 29th. That is a week away. So the Predators are going to have a week off. A week without actual game action. Yeah, they're going to have their practices and whatnot. But they're not going to be in the exact same game shape, I don't believe. Yeah, they'll be a little healthier. But they're not going to be, I don't think, as in the zone. Now, granted, the Penguins could win tonight and they could have 6 days off, but this is a Penguins team that won the Stanley Cup last season. This is a Penguins team that has always performed in the playoffs. This is a Penguins team that you don't need to worry about, I don't think. They know what they need to do. Nashville, this is uncharted territory for them. So we'll see what happens with the Predators. I think they would beat the Ottawa Senators. I think they would lose to the Penguins. I think the Penguins would beat them pretty quickly, to be honest with you. The Predators were the 16th place team in the NHL during the regular season. So no matter what, they will be on the road for game one of the Stanley Cup final, whether it be a PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh or whether it be at Canadian Tire Center in Canada's capital of Canada, which will also be the host of game six tonight. So for the Ottawa Senators, they are coming off their worst loss of the Stanley Cup playoffs, maybe their worst playoff loss ever, a 7-0 defeat in Pittsburgh at the hands of the Penguins. They saw mid-game injuries to Derek Brassard and Erik Karlsson. Karlsson got his ankle messed, a little twisted up. Derek Brassard, his knee, according to Twitter, they both could have came back. I don't buy that. But for Ottawa, they even had their coach, Guy Boucher, and this is a guy that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying to the media. He came out to the media and said, they're a better team than us. Everybody knows that. Is he lying? No. The Penguins are a better team than them. But is he trying to take off pressure from his team by saying that? That's exactly what he's saying. And this has been a building, Canadian Tire Center, that they have not been able to fill up during the playoffs. There have been plenty of open seats. And is the home ice advantage in Ottawa a little overplayed? Maybe. It is. And they're going to need everything they can to beat the Penguins now 2 games in a row in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And especially in a game seven, if they force it back in Pittsburgh, where they're coming off a 7-0 defeat, I don't think the Senators have what it takes to win this game. I think the Penguins are going to beat them up again tonight. I think they're going to go to the Stanley Cup final at 12-6. And I think they're going to move straight forward. I think they will defend their Stanley Cup. And for the Penguins, their hardest competition, I still believe, if they make the final, their hardest competition was in round two. And I think the Columbus Blue Jackets are a better team also than the Ottawa Senators and the Nashville Predators. I think throughout the first two rounds, the Penguins had to face the Metropolitan Division, which I know that. We all know that they played the Metropolitan Division, which is, in my opinion, the best division in the National Hockey League. They beat a great Columbus team filled with young talent that can fly up and down the ice and just snipe from anywhere, it seems like, with John Tortorella at the helm. Then they beat the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals. Their reward, they get to face whatever came out of the Atlantic half of the bracket, and it wasn't even the team from the Metropolitan as the Rangers choked against the Ottawa Senators. They get to face the Ottawa Senators, who were the last place team, the second place team in the Atlantic Division, which was still worse than fourth place in the Metropolitan Division. So for the Penguins, close out the series tonight, and then you're going back home either way. You're either going home for a Game 7 or you're going home for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. So no matter what, the Penguins are going back to Pittsburgh. But which game is it going to be for, 7 or 1? I think it's going to be for Game 1. I think the Penguins are just so much of a better team than the Senators. They got past the Boston Bruins. I think they're very equal in talent, those two teams. They beat the Bruins, I think, because of a speed factor. They beat the Rangers because I think complacency just settled in with the Rangers, and that's why they blow leads. I said that with Alain Vigneault 1,000 times, how if the Rangers played hard for 60 minutes every night, they would be a phenomenal team. That's just not Alain Vigneault's style. Like, I think teams definitely get complacent under him because he's not up their ass. I think this is a guy that And I even was reading an article the other day, and it was from 2013. It was a Vancouver Canucks beat writer. I don't remember his name. I don't remember the article. But he said it was a why did Alain Vigneault get fired? This was right after the 2013 season, right before Vigneault signed with the Rangers. And number one on the list was complacency and the Vancouver Canucks not showing up on a nightly basis. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, oh, okay, so nothing changed. I don't think Alain Vigneault is a coach that deserves his position. I think the Rangers need someone who's not John Tortorella. Like, they went from all the way up the ladder of intensity in John Tortorella to all the way at the bottom of Alain Vigneault, who the only thing he seems he gets upset about mid-games is how much he chews his gum. For Alain Vigneault, I don't think he has a place on the Rangers staff anymore. If he does stay, I'll be enamored, and I don't think they're going to do anything next season. But I think that's why the Ottawa Senators got by them. The Rangers, I still believe, are a better team on paper, and I still believe they should have won that series in five. But now for Ottawa, now they're playing a team where they got nothing to run. They can't run from the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is a team that wins, has won in the playoffs, can win in the playoffs, and will win in the playoffs. So give me the Penguins tonight. I'll take them by the score of 4-2, maybe even more. Give me the Penguins. All right, so that will set up my Stanley Cup final of Pittsburgh and Nashville. And hey, if you were listening to the podcast when the first round began, what did CJ tell you? Preds in six. We would diagram the Stanley Cup final more tomorrow if the Penguins do win. If the Senators win, of course, we're not going to do that just yet. So stay tuned for that. All right, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. And one thing I do want to talk about, staying in the hockey realm, the team that was eliminated last night, the Anaheim Ducks. Is this the end of the era of dominance of the Anaheim Ducks? Now, this is a Ducks team. Yes, they haven't won a Stanley Cup in 10 years now, which isn't terrible. Like, you can ask any team. They'll say, yeah, if we win within 10 years, that's good. But this is a team that 10 years ago, Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaff were rookies. And now they're getting older. They're in their 30s. This is a Ducks team that's won the division in the last 5 years. 5 years in a row division title. But is this the end of the Anaheim Ducks' reign? Of course, the Edmonton Oilers are on the rise. They're only going straight up. Like, there's no, like, bumps and hills. No, it is a straight-up ascension, and they're going to get better in the offseason, too. The Ducks, they have a lot of veteran players. I think they've peaked. I don't think they're going to get any better. I think they're a good hockey team, but they're not going to get any better, really. The San Jose Sharks are still going to be there next season. The Calgary Flames just continue to get better. For Anaheim, I think they're going to still try and compete for a Stanley Cup. Don't get me wrong, but I think this was their last chance. I don't think they're going to be able to get through the Western Conference playoffs anymore. I think they were lucky that the Chicago Blackhawks got knocked out, but they lost to the team that knocked out the Blackhawks. This is a team that they have some really good talent in Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry and Ryan Kesler, but I think this is the end of the dominance era for the Ducks. I think next year is the first year that they don't win a Stanley Cup, and I think their cup window has closed. Not for the fact that their players aren't good enough. They still have good, like I said, they have good talent. But is the talent around them now too much? And I think it is. So the Ducks have won 5 straight division titles. I think the Oilers or the Sharks take that next season. I think it's going to be the Oilers. But we'll see with Anaheim, because this might have been the last chance that the Ducks really had to go deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs. They could still do it next year. Don't get me wrong. But the challenges are going to be much harder. Now you're going to face an Edmonton team in the playoffs that might have home ice advantage on you next year, that has playoff experience, that knows what they're getting into, maybe some new players. For the Ducks, I don't think they're going to really change the roster that much, because they have already a lot of people making money, and it's hard to move those. So I do think we've seen the end of the Anaheim Ducks era of dominance in the Pacific Division. So, yeah, for Ducks fans, they're reeling right now. They don't want to hear that, but that's just what I got going forward for them. They had a good run. I think it's finally their window's closed. If they could have won another Stanley Cup in the 10 years, that would have been great for them. But, hey, they still got their banner in 2007. So good for them. All right, so we'll talk a little basketball now in the last 5 minutes of the show. And last night was game four of the Western Conference Final. The Golden State Warriors on the road in San Antonio. No, the Warriors without, of course, Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard. You're without two of your three best players in San Antonio. All right, maybe four. You're just not going to win in basketball against the Golden State Warriors. They go 12-0 throughout the Western Conference playoffs. Absolutely dominant. And they win the series 4-0 over the San Antonio Spurs, and perhaps the last game ever for Manu Ginobili. Maybe the last game ever for Tony Parker, too. Who knows? Maybe this is the end of the San Antonio Spurs dominance as we know it. In this one for the Warriors, 29 for Durant, 36 for Curry. They played 37 and 33 minutes, respectively. 16 for Draymond. Clay had a terrible game. He only had 10 points and 33, shooting 23% from the field. Off the bench, Andre Iguodala, 22 minutes. He had 7 points. As Warriors 129-115. Curry and Durant combining for 65 in that one. For the Spurs, their best came from Kyle Anderson, who played 26 minutes. He had 20 points. But this was a Spurs team that, you know, they just don't have the star talent that the Golden State Warriors have. And this is a game where you got to have star talent. If you're the team where all the stars want to go, then you're going to win probably. And that's what you see for the third straight year. The Warriors are on to the final. They're probably going to play the Cavaliers for the third year in a row. Not a lot of it doesn't leave a lot to the imagination when it comes to stuff like this. And the Warriors, they weren't that team that just, hey, all the stars went there until last year when it was KD that went there. They were a team that built up through Clay and Steph and Draymond. They did it right. They hired the right guy in Steve Kerr. But then KD went there, and then they became the destination team like Cleveland already was because, hey, LeBron came back because he's like, oh, you got Kyrie now and the Heat are done. Now I have a chance to win here, so I'll come back to Cleveland. That's all that happened there. And then they get Kevin Love, too. So the Warriors will have rest going into this final. They get to watch game four tonight against the between the Cavaliers and the Celtics in Cleveland at Quicken Loans Arena. Best the Cavs can do is only take a 3-1 lead if they were not also able to complete the sweep. And Boston, of course, will not have Isaiah Thomas. So, hey, they didn't have Isaiah Thomas in game three, and they found a way to win. So, the Cavaliers, let's be honest, they could lose the next two games of the series, and I think they'd still be fine to win. This is a team that's got LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, and Boston just, they don't have their best player in Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, they have Al Horford still, but this is a series. Don't be fooled. The Cavaliers are going to win. It's not up for debate, I don't. And this is, look, there's a reason I watch and I cover the NHL a lot more than basketball, because I feel basketball is extremely predictable. You know what's going to happen. Like, everybody knew that the Cavaliers were going to play the Warriors in the final again for the third year in a row. That was pretty obvious. Let's be honest. Let's not lie to ourselves. And when the final comes around, I'm going to cover it more, because then I think it's the series to cover. I don't think there was anything to cover before that. But, yeah, it's going to be a good final between the Warriors and the Cavs, obviously the two best teams in Major League Baseball. And did I just say Major League Baseball? Because I was looking at MLB Network and the NBA. I don't think they fare well in the MLB. But, yeah, we'll talk about that, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right, so that is all we've got today on today's edition of the CJ Real Podcast. I thank you all for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. We'll talk Yankees-Royals Game 2. We'll talk the series opener between the Mets and the Padres. We'll be able to talk about Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final between the Penguins and the Senators, if the Penguins are destined to go play Ottawa, or if there will be a Game 7 back in Pittsburgh instead of a Game 1. All that and more comes tomorrow, so set your alarms now. We're going on a little bit of a break. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a good one. This is CJ Real signing off.